Greetings. We're here at Cross Culture Church doing our Tuesday noon Bible study. And today, as in the last few Tuesdays, we're in the book of John, and we're at the fifth chapter, and we're starting from the very first verse. In chapter four, we ended with a very, very good discussion on are people moved and drawn by the miracles, or are they moved and drawn by God? And of course, we had a lively discussion, and it was pretty good. The fact that if God says something, do you have faith to believe that what he says is going to happen right now? Or do you gain the faith after you see what has been done? So the man had asked Jesus about healing his servant, and a discourse went on between him and our Savior. And of course, on his way back home, a servant met him and told him that a healing had taken place. And then he asked him about what time, as to verify, was it true that when Jesus said he was healed, was he healed then, or was he healed later? And of course, the answer was he was healed at the time that Jesus said he was healed. And so we drew a lot from that. And my take has always been, if God said it, that settles it. And I don't need to be trying to figure out when, where, how, and all of this sort of thing. So, and prior to that, he met the woman at the well. And that scene of her at the well and he telling her about the rivers of living water, and if she could get some of that water, it would be on the inside. And that is going to play a crucial and very interesting point when we go into chapter 5 of John. So let's keep that in mind as John has put this together in such a magnanimous way. Verse 1 in chapter 5 of John says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. As we are doing a line by line in each chapter, let us pick out the nuggets and information that we see upon every verse. It ties into one to another. Sometimes it just seems like it might be a dash or a comma, but it causes us to move on. Do we know what this particular feast was of the Jews and why Jesus went up to Jerusalem?
No.
It was Passover. Okay. Now, it's very interesting that Jesus went to the Passover, right? Now, did he have to go?
I'll say yes.
Why?
Because it was a celebration of the Jews. I don't understand what Passover means, though.
Passover was when they celebrated the fact that the death angel, that they were saved by the blood that was on the post. So he had to go. Why?
Well, maybe because he was going to shed his blood.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, he was still under the law at that point. He was coming to fulfill everything. All right. He was there. He could have opted not to go, but he went. Another reason he went was, at this particular time, are we not feeling more religious? Are we not feeling a little bit more connected to God? Are we not fired up emotionally about the fact that God spared his people? They were in an air of receptivity and sensitivity to the things of God, even though they were just going through the motions. Yeah. All right? So wouldn't this be a great opportunity for the power of God to move if everybody is there because of God? Yes. So I want us to look at he went up there. Why? Because he saw an opportunity. Why? Because some things must needs be. If we look at it today, they were having a testimony service at the church as to how good God has been. When people are gathered around in the name of God, he is there in the midst. Isn't that a very opportune time to show up and experience God's presence? Yes. And so this one verse here says volumes to us about why we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves, as the manner of some is. If there's something that's going on, and if the people of God are there, you know, being around the throne and worshiping God and praising God, what a great opportunity it is for us to present ourselves in that. Okay? We're in John 5, and we're talking in the very first verse here. It says, after this, and of course this was the experience that Jesus had just had with two people, where he revealed himself in a marvelous and miraculous way. It says, and after he had done that, it was the feast of the Jews, and they went and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And I had asked the question, what was that feast of the Jews? We're in John 5 and 1. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. What was the feast? It was the Passover.
Passover.
Uh-huh. And I asked, why do you think Jesus went up to Jerusalem? He was doing pretty good right where he was. He had done already had the first evangelist to go out and tell folks, come see a man. He is the Messiah. He done told me of things and all of that. So he got a little revival going there.
Right.
Then the man come and want a healing of his servant, and he got his servant healed. So, you know, he go by and tell some people. So he's doing some miraculous things. He said, now, here comes the Passover. And he leaves from where he is and goes up to Jerusalem.
Well, I guess I would have to think that that's part of what he was supposed to be doing.
Because?
He was doing what his father told him to do. That's my rationale.
Oh, okay.
Right. That was part of what he was supposed to be doing at that time. I mean, you know, with other places he's saying, it's not my time yet or whatever. So
right.
So I guess he went up there because that was what he was supposed to do at that time.
Another good view.
Correct me if
I'm. No. It's not a right or wrong answer. What we want to do is to look at all aspects.
Okay.
And when I was looking at it, I got the point that here was a festivity that was going on that was religious in nature.
Okay.
All right. It was stirring emotionally because they were giving testimony that God had done something by sparing them.
Okay.
All right, so there was a heightened spiritual thing going on with the Jewish people and God. They were remembering what God had done. That was exciting their heart about what he was yet to do. If he saved them then, he could continue to do things for them now. So here's an opportunity. It's like coming into a church service where there's testimonies going on about how good God is, and everybody's all excited about it because God has moved in somebody's life. Now he can move in my life, or he can move in the person who has a need that has come, can be excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't he go? This was a great opportunity for him to minister because the people were in a spiritual mode, spiritual vein, even though it was ceremonial. All right. it's like there's a camp meeting going on. And so he said, well, hey, let me go over to this camp meeting, you know. And so he goes. All right, verse 2 says, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Now, several things going on here in verse 2. One, there's a sheep market, right? So what goes on at the sheep market? Buying and selling of sheep. All right? So they're coming in, they're going out, they're being sold for sacrifice, they're being sold for food. There's a big thing going on with these sheep. All right? So wherever there's business, there's people. All right? So you got two different groups of people. You got the people that are here for the Passover, and you got another group of people here that's handling business. So here you got a great opportunity going on here. Now, this sheep market, right by the sheep market was a pool. Now, this pool has to do with a body of water that was used for a multi-purpose. All right? It could be a pond, or it could be a dipping pool. It could be used for a lot of different things. Now, it says it had five porches. The porches were like, we would call a veranda. It was like a patio, all right, with awnings over it, all right, that was around the pool at different stages. This wasn't just a little spot. It was a pretty good spot where you could have different venues, not really a venue, but a different piazza or patio that was covered, all right? And let me go back and see. I thought I didn't write this down, but that word, is it Bethesda? It's Bethesda, isn't it?
What is it, Bethesda?
All right. It has a meaning. It means I didn't write it down. House of Mercy. Okay. It's Bethesda. Yeah, Bethesda. Bethesda, it means house of mercy. Okay. All right? House of mercy. So now here we got a house of mercy having five porches. Okay. All right? In these porches are these areas that got canvases over them and stuff like that, over the little patio part, not over the water, all right, lay a multitude of impotent folk, all right? Mm-hmm. Now, it says, it defines the impotent people. They were blind, they were halt, or they were withered, and they were waiting for the moving of the water. All right? Mm-hmm. Blind, somebody had to help them get there. Halt, they couldn't really walk or had a impediment of moving. And withered means their bodies were deformed in some way. The man that had a withered hand, you know, they were either bowled over. They had palsy, okay? They had some sort of ailment that caused them to draw in, be drawn up, all right? Now, are there a lot of great impotent people today? They are blind to the things of God. They are halt by certain lusts, infirmities and ailments into their bodies, and they're underdeveloped in their thinking. They've been constricted and not allowed to grow into what God has called them to be. So here's a great opportunity that when we look and it says the fields are white for harvest, this is one way to look at it. There's a lot of impotent folk out there. There's a lot of folk out there that are hurting. They can't see, they can't walk, and they are deformed in some way. All right, and they need for God to touch their life. All right, if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and if there's nothing new under the sun, it's the same group of people that was messed up then. We got another generation that's messed up now. Right?
Yeah.
All right. So I want us to look at it in all aspects. Now we're gonna get to. They were waiting for the moving of the water. All right. Now, in a pond, water doesn't move. I just want to let you know that.
Okay.
It's a body of water, but it's not in a moving. Rivers, water moves. Streams, water move. Oceans, water moves. Pond or lake, water don't move. The only way it moves is if something pushes it. Wind will come and cause a ripple, but other than that, it's not moving. Now, it's moving below 80% of the time, but it's not moving on the top at all. All right? So they were waiting for the moving of the water. All right? Verse 4. It says, for the angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Now, I want to stop right there.
Okay.
All right. Now, troubling and moving are synonymous in this. All right. But let us bag back one chapter. And what did Jesus tell the woman at the well?
Thirsty no more.
Right. And I'm going to give you living water.
Right.
All right.
Right.
And what else? After he gave you this living water, you're not going to thirst again.
Right.
All right.
Right.
All right. So when we have and receive from God his salvation, what do we get from God?
When we receive salvation.
Right. We get his spirit, right?
Right.
All right. And right. So he gives us himself. We said, Jesus, you come in.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I'm that living water. I'm that's inside of you that will refresh you, that will bring you everything you need to do what you need to do. He said, I will give you this living water, which is, he says, I'm going to give you myself. And inside of you, you're going to have rivers of living water. That's going to be inside of you all that you need. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gifts that's in you. I want you to think about this. If we have that living water on the inside of us and we get it stirred up or we get it troubled, right, what are we to do with it after that? We can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. All right? We have within us the ability that God has given us to be a blessing to others. When we allow the spirit to be stirred up on the inside of us, and the demonstration is that when the people come in contact with us, they can receive from these troubled waters. All right?
Okay.
So I want you to look at what we got going on here. He says, the angel came down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. What is an angel?
The angel messenger from God.
Are we messengers?
Yeah, we are.
I love Portia. Portia just said we're not angelic angels. Of course we're not. But our job is very similar to the job that they had. And in this specific example, in a certain season, an angel would come down. Yeah. Now, in our certain season, don't we have things to do? There's seasons in our life. Sometimes we don't recognize what season it is or utilize all of the opportunities in the seasons that are given. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. But I want you thinking about, what season are you in your life? What season is it? When we first meet God, we come into a revelation, right? He reveals himself to us. We accept him. And so now starts an ongoing revelation of who he is, how we respond to him. And then comes, after that comes growth, right? Then after we grow to know who he is and experience him, we get discipled. After we get disciples, what are we to do? We are to go out, right? We give our testimony. We pray and ask God, what area does he want us to minister in? We discover what gifts, talents, abilities that we have, and then we allow God to utilize them, that he gave us for his glory, right? Okay, so now that we're doing that, and when it's time for that certain season to come, and we are like Timothy, and we stir up the gifts that's within us, there should be an expectation that something's getting ready to happen. And it is. And it is. All right? The key to all of that is, where are you going to be when that happens, and who's going to be before you when it does? I just want you to think about that. The way we listen to God and obey him sets up the opportunities for him to use us. God can tell us through prayer to do a lot of things, but if we wake up the next day and decide we're going to go another direction, we may miss the pool. And we might.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We might miss the pool. We might miss that opportunity. And sometimes the pool may not be where a whole lot of people are, but it's going to be where impotent people are. And the impotent people need to be made whole. Do we not have the word that can make whole?
Yes.
We got the word that can make whole. All right? So let's move on. All right? The angel at a certain time, certain season, down to the pool, he troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of the disease he had. Now, two things going on. One, the Spirit of God is moving. The potential is there. Second thing that's going on is somebody got to step in. All right? Isn't it interesting that even in this small example here, man has got to do something? God not finna push you in the pool. he not gonna drag you into the pool. You know, if you or anybody else has an expectation, and let us be sure that the people that were there waiting had an expectation, right? But if they didn't take advantage of the opportunity, let's just say they were there, and when the water got troubled, they started talking, you know, and didn't go ahead on and get in the water. Now, it just said it says the first that would step in. That could mean you have five porches. You got a lot of people going around. The first ones that made the move to get in got healed. It wasn't necessarily just that one got healed. all of the first ones that got in. If you dilly-dallying around and talking like them, like those virgins, five was ready to go. When the call came, they ran on out there. The other five had to squander their time and had to go back. And you see what I mean? You got to be ready. And you got to say, if you are willing and obedient, you should eat the good of the land. Well, you can be willing to eat already, but if you ain't obedient when the call come and the food get put on the table, by the time you get through playing around, the food gone. Now, I didn't grow up in a big family, but I heard that sometimes if you messed around and didn't get to the table when the food was put out, or if that last piece of chicken was out there, daddy got that. You messed around and talking about I didn't get nothing to eat. It's like, oh, well, you knew what time the plate was, you know. You got the call, you just decided to do something else. So I want us to look at this and say, boy, what an awesome responsibility it was to be ready to go in when the water got trouble. All right? And now, but we've already been through what were the different diseases and what was going on. They couldn't see. They were immobilized. They were halt. They were at the edge. All they needed to do was get in, and then they were withered. Their limbs were shrunken in. All right. Now we get to a certain man. There was a certain man that was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Now, he was there. He had been sick for 38 years. We don't know how long he had been sitting there, but we know for 38 years he was hurting. He had an infirmity. Now, we also know that it was one of the three infirmities that was spoken of. Right? So let's cut out the blind. Because it wasn't that he couldn't see. He said, I got nobody to help me in. If he's at the porch, all right, he's there. So he's either halt or withered. All right. That's well, I'm just kind of narrowing that down. All right. He been there. All right. Now here comes Jesus. Why was Jesus there? Because it was the Passover and he was coming to celebrate the Passover. Also, he was there because in the fullness of time, he was to be there for this particular situation. All right. He had just already told the woman about the living water. She accepted what he said. She went out and did a great evangelistic work and the people came. The next one, he had done a healing, right? So he's already in the healing mode. So here we are at the pool, and he comes up, and Jesus saw him laying there. So we already know he had to be either halt or withered, right? He's laying there. And knew that he had been now a long time in that case, and said unto the man, wilt thou be made whole? Is that not the question that we ask those that are hurting? You want to be saved? You want to be delivered? You want your life changed? You want real joy? You want truth? You want revelation knowledge? You want a family? You know? When we run up, our sisters not run up, when we run into people, there's a vast number of things that got them. Because in this life, you're going to have some tribulations, trials, and tests. There's sin going on in this world, and people are getting wore out by it. So now, there's always somebody in need of salvation. Did we not just read that the fields are white for harvest, but the workers are the problem? We don't have enough people out there working with those. Because there's a lot of people hurting. A lot of people hurting. All right? Wilt thou be made whole? Question of the hour. Question of the hour. Will you be made whole? Now, the impotent man answered him, sir. I love that. He said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, or while I'm doing the best that I can to get there, they stepping in front of me and getting in there. I want to get there. I want to. But every time I try, somebody else is getting in front of me. Great expectation, but no results. I know it can happen. I'm right here waiting on it. I'm doing the very best that I can, but somebody's getting in front of me. I want to do right. I've tried 5-step programs. I go to AA meetings. I'm doing the best I can, but just don't seem like all I'm doing is bringing forth any results. How many excuses can people come up with? They come up with a lot of them. I went to church and all they talked about was money. Huh? I went there and everybody was looking at me because I wasn't dressed like they were dressed. I don't see why I got to go anyway. You know why? I don't see why y'all going anyway. That preacher don't care nothing about you. I saw him anyway. He ain't all that. How many excuses do they have? Lots of them, right?
Lots of them.
Lots of them. I mean, I just threw out some. Y'all know some, right?
Yeah, I got to get rid of this problem before.
Yeah, look. The one I love. As soon as I get myself together, I'm gonna get in there. I'm coming. Keep praying for me, brother. Keep praying for me. I almost got it lit.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But like you just read in the scriptures where it said, the man's been there 38 years. And Jesus, like, do you really want to be well? I mean, 38 years, you figured. You the same thing every year, 38 years, everybody's wow. Getting in front of you. I mean, really, do you really want to be well? But now, I know what you're saying with it.
Yeah.
Like we make excuses. I'm no exception for things that I should be doing or whatever, but you legitimize it, you know.
Right.
Right, you know, but it's the prioritizing, getting your priorities straight as to what you're supposed to be doing and really listening to the voice of the Lord.
Now, while we're here talking, I'm glad we got some Bible students in here and Portia. So, think about this. Look at how many stories where people defied the odds. They took the top off a man's house and lowered a sick man in.
Oh, yeah.
And how they tore up this man's roof. But they felt that strong to get their friend in there to be healed.
To be healed, right.
The woman with the issue of blood.
Right.
She said, look, I had something. I don't have nothing anymore. I'm getting low to get it. Right?
Right.
I mean, we got more stories of people. The woman that came to Jesus and said, my daughter's is vexed with these evil spirits. He didn't even respond to her. She came back. She said, my daughter, he said, look, I can't give the children bread to the dogs. She said, I ain't going nowhere because I got to have it. Even the dogs can have the crumbs from the master's table. Right?
Right.
So here's a woman that went through being ignored, being humiliated, And then she still stayed there and got what she wanted. And he said, I'm trying to get there, but they stepping in front of me. You weren't trying hard enough. Because it's a folk. Isn't that what we talking about? Desperate measures call for what? Desperate things, right? Right?
Right.
What you pointing at me for? You don't have nothing. I thought you were ready to come on in there.
Listen.
They doing good. I'm waiting on you. I'll let you bring it on. Come on in. All right. So his question is, will you be made whole? We ain't talking about all these other people. I'm talking to you. Here it is. Now faith is. When you're presented with God, are we to what? Not harden our heart. We're not supposed to start coming up with all these things. When the opportunity comes, what are we supposed to do? Rush in there and get it. Alright? Will you be made whole? Say, man, I can't do it. I can't do it. They stepping in front of me and everything. Jesus said unto him, take up your bed and walk. See, I love it. First of all, he said, sir. It was like when they looked up on the apostles and they said, man, you know, they saw it. They could sense the power, you know. And he said, ooh. And immediately the man was made whole. He took up his bed and walked off. And on the same day was the Sabbath. All right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's look at it like this. Here come religious people.
Yeah.
Here come religious. Here come tradition. Here come philosophy. All right. All right. Here comes segregation. This is how we do things here. It's how we do things here. Now, we already been through Hebrews. So Hebrews says, hey, Jesus is better than. You can have all them ways, but there comes a culmination of it, and then you got to move into the next level. So here we are. He's getting ready to demonstrate the next level. All right? And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, hey, dude, it's the Sabbath day, and it is not lawful for you to carry that bed. I'm thinking in my mind already. For 38 years, I've been on this bed. And this man done told me to take it up and walk. I'm doing exactly what this man. I ain't walked in 38 years. Me and this bed getting ready to get gone. Huh? He answered them, he that made me whole said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Isn't that something? He said, look, first of all, y'all talking to me. I got this bed. I was giving some instruction. I'm going with the instruction. So I'm just telling you, I got instruction. I'm doing what I was told, and I'm going on with it.
Which they didn't even give any thought to the fact that this man's been down 38
years. They didn't never know
he's walking. I was only concerned that he's carrying the baby.
Now listen at this. And we laughing right now, but tell me that they had not seen this man that long on that bed waiting on their water to be troubled. But it doesn't matter about that. They stuck in their mode of thinking and saying, you still not following our rules and regulations.
I wonder why nobody tried to head him to the water.
The answer is everybody was trying to get to the water. And the other part about it is you didn't know when the water was going to be trouble. You didn't know when it was going
to
happen. You know, I thought so much about this. How much preparation time do we take getting ready to go to church? Or to the Bible study? Or out during the day? Because we have no idea when this river of living water within us can be troubled. And we'll be around somebody that we need to touch. Or because it is trouble, they're drawn to us and said, I need your prayer. I need for you to intercede for me. I need for you to be there for me. And that thing's going right then, and they pushed forward to that area. When people come to us and ask us for prayer, don't you think they got a little desperate? A lot of them do. Now, some of them can be just ceremonial. Hey, can you pray for me about this? Or, you know, man, I need this car, man. Or, you know, I need this and I need that. But we know the legitimate prayers of the folk that you know, they done tried all they can do, and they said, man, I just need for somebody to pray for me. I went to jail last night, and this one guy came up to me. He said, I got a question for you. I said, God got an answer for you. God got an answer for you. He said, do I have to serve these 6 years that I got? Is that in God's plan for me to do that? And I looked at him and I said, you got to give me the whole scenario here. Because if you got to do 6 years, then that's your wilderness experience for 6 years. And when at the end of your 6 years, you're going to be ready to do what God has called you to do. So he explained to me that he had been released on this program, that you got to be good for so long. And if you don't be good in that particular period of time, you're going to have to go back and finish this term. What is it some kind of release thing? He had done part of it. But I can't think of the name of it. But he had done part of it. They let him out. And they said, if you be good, you won't have to do the rest of it. He did tell me it was something about assault or whatever it was. But at any rate, he gets out and he do the same thing again. And he's asking me, did I think it was God's will for him to go do the remaining of the 6 years? So I asked him, I said, young man, I said, God had a plan for you. I said, did not you get a reprieve and have a chance to act right so you would not have to do the balance of the 6 years? That was God's plan. I said, now what plan did you have? I said, we got two situations here. God got a plan, you got a plan. And you know what I gave him? Proverbs 14 and 12. There is a way that seems right unto a man. I said, so at some point it seemed right for you to digress back into the very thing that caused you the problem in the first place. And so now you got to do 6 years. He said, well, was that God's plan? I said, you're not understanding me. No, it was not. It was not God's plan. I said, but God gives you a responsibility. And in your responsibility, you were not, N-O-T, responsible in that time. And so there are repercussions. And so in these 6 years, young man, I want you to focus on the fact that God's still going to get his will done after these 6 years. But you're going to be a lot more focused after these six. I hope. I didn't tell him that. I said, yeah. Yeah, because guess what? He's going to be focused on something when he come out.
That's right.
He's going to be focused on something. And I told him, I said, go in with the Lord and come out with the Lord.
Amen.
I said, because this is not getting ready to be your wilderness experience. It's going to be your desert. Mm-hmm. This is getting ready to be your time where you and him are going to really get a relationship going. Because obviously what took, you didn't let it take. You got something, but you didn't let it do what it was supposed to do. You digressed, and that's what you have. So, you know, we got a situation here and we looking at this. And he said, look, I done got my deliverance. I'm going to do what I'm told and I'm going on. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be trying to observe your laws or anybody's laws right now, because I've heard from the master. And the master told me to take up this bed and walk. You are not my master. You've not healed me. You ain't done nothing. Right. Am I right?
Right?
You know, y'all telling me all this, but y'all ain't done nothing for me. The one that done saved my soul, healed my body. I'm obeying that message. That's the message I got.
What was so sweet, he didn't know who Jesus was.
But he knew he had the power. First of all, he said, sir, he recognized something. He said, look, I'm over here and you up here. Now, how many other people have been talking to him? Nobody coming over to them. You know they was in bad shape laying there by that water.
Right.
Ain't nobody coming over there talking to them. So if somebody came over to talk to him, something was going on.
That's right.
And especially talking about would you be made whole. Right. And he got healed. All right, so let's get to the exciting part. All right. Then they ask him, what man is that which said unto you, take up your bed and walk? Who said that? Who said that? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed or moved himself away, and a multitude being in that place. It was crowded. He looked around. I don't know who it is. There's some more people here now. I can't see him. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple. Now, he done took that bed up. Boy, he in the temple now, buddy. Oh, boy, he going on. Jesus said, oh, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Ooh. Is this not that young man I was talking to? Got delivered. What did the judge tell him? Go your way, don't do that no more, lest something worse gonna come upon you. You ain't done but a couple of years. These 6 more you getting ready to do is not gonna be fun. Because guess what? He was just in a state facility. Now he got to go to prison. Now he got to go to prison. Whole different set of rules. Whole different set of people. Right? Whole different attitude and environment. Worst thing come upon you. The man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus which made me whole. Testimony time. Look, I love that. I love that. The man left and then told the Jews, I believe he went back and found them. He didn't have to go far. He was already at the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He saw him. Hey, y'all that wanted to know who it was and told me to take up my bed and walk, he was still, you know, it was Jesus. Y'all want to know who it was? Y'all so bad. Y'all ain't do nothing for me. He did. It was him.
Right.
That's who it was.
So he knew who it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did he give his testimony? Mm-hmm. Oh, it was Jesus that healed me. Do we get that testimony? Do we get excited and say, ooh, my Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
It was him. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. Because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now, look, man, you done did a mighty work, but guess what? You didn't come this way. We got a certain time and way that we do things.
Yeah.
This is how we work around here.
Right.
You just can't be doing stuff like that without following the rules. We got rules and regulations around here. Then Jesus said unto him, my Father worketh right now, and I work hitherto in the midst of, and so I work. Now you know when he said that, That was even more fire. What? What? Therefore, the Jews sought even more to kill him. Because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his father, making himself equal with God. Now, I just want to stop right here because they knew, because Nicodemus had to come to him, right? They knew that he was somebody, because wasn't nobody else doing what he had done, right? I heard a guy Sunday, he was a preacher, and he was talking about haters. And he said, when you are chosen of God, you're going to have haters, and then you're going to have haters. There are going to be two different groups of haters. You're going to have those that are authorized to hate you, those that messengers sent from Satan to buffet you, to aggravate and agitate you. Then you're going to have the unauthorized haters, which are the ones that can look and see what you got and just jealous of the fact that you got it and they don't. And he said, you can tell your location in the kingdom of God by the level of the haters that you got around. When you go places and people say, I don't know what it is about you, but I just don't like you. You where you need to be. I'm just telling you, you are at that level that God's getting ready to do something great in your life. They can see the light and it's that bright that it's agitating them, and they don't even really know the power or the intensity of that which you possess. I thought that was powerful. And he used the illustration of Joseph and how God had anointed Joseph. He blessed him with the coat. They hated the coat. They took the coat from him, right? Threw him in the pit, right? Oh, man, the guy worked that thing. The pit was empty and dry. They didn't throw him down into something where he could drown or nothing like that. So he worked that thing. He said, when God is with you and call you, he'll be with you in the pit. He went from the pit to the prison. And while he was in the prison, God was with him there, gave him favor there. And then the guy at the jail said, look, I got something to do. You go and run this thing. I'll be right back. Left, put him in charge of the prison. He's a prisoner, but yet the favor of God was on him that strong. And not only was God with him in the prison, God was with him when he went to the palace, when he was with the king, and Potiphar's wife was trying to get him, and all that stuff went on. God was with him all the time. Wasn't that something? But guess what? The end of the message was that God got on your life is irreversible. Whatever area of life you in, God's got that he called you to do, and the favor to do all of that is going to be on you in every step of the way. So don't get dismayed because you seem like you at a point in your life or in your ministry or whatever where things look like they stalled out. They ain't stalled out. That power and favor of God is still on you. So here these guys are hating on him because he has expressed and demonstrated his relationship with God and the power that God has given him through that relationship. All right. And then Jesus said to him in verse 19. Y'all have to tell me what time it is. I don't have a watch on.
1:15.
Is it really? All right. I'm done. We going to pray. I'm just going on.
It might be a little bit fast.
It's supposed to be at 1 o'clock. I got to be obedient. Father, we just thank you. We're going to get right back into verse 19 when we come back. What a time. I got excited. We talking about Revelation. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for these that have come. We give you alone praise and honor and glory. We know that your word is not going to return void, but it's going to accomplish that which you please and prosper into the thing whereunto it is sent. It is sent. It is sent in the good ground.